Hare Krishna. Lord Narasimhadev's appearance at ISKCON Mayapur. Based on a talk with His Grace Atmatattva Das Prabhu. On the 24th of March 1984 at 12:20 a.m., 35 dacoits, thieves armed with weapons and bombs, attacked Sri Mayapur Chandrodaya Temple. They harassed the devotees and treated them with derision. But the greatest shock came when the dacoits decided to steal the deities of Srila Prabhupada and Srimati Radharani. Fearlessly, the devotees challenged the attackers. How could they see Srila Prabhupada and Srimati Radharani carried away? Shots were fired, a few dacoits fell, and their plans were foiled. Srila Prabhupada was rescued, but that beautiful form of Srimati Radharani would no longer grace the main altar. This incident really disturbed the minds of the devotees. Those involved in management were especially concerned to make some permanent solution. This was not the first time that the devotees had faced violence and harassment in Mayapur. Bhavanand Das, who was the co-director of ISKCON Mayapur, suggested that Lord Narasimhadev be installed. When the dacoits had threatened devotees at Yogapeet, Sri Bhaktivinod Thakur and his son Srila Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Thakur had promptly installed Sri Sri Lakshmi Narasimhadev. There had been no further disturbances. Other devotees in Mayapur were not so keen to follow so closely in these footsteps. The pujari must be a nashtik brahmachari, celibate from birth, and the worship of Lord Narasimhadev must be very strict and regulated. Who would be prepared to worship him? Despite such hesitancy, Bhavanand Das was enthusiastic to bring Lord Narasimhadev to Mayapur. He asked Bhakti Siddhant Das and myself to draw some sketches. One day, quite spontaneously, he said that the deity's legs should be bent, ready to jump. He should be looking around ferociously. His fingers should be curled and flame should be coming from his head. I sketched a deity in this mood. The devotees liked it and Pankajangri Das agreed to worship him. Radhapada Das, a wealthy devotee from Calcutta, offered to sponsor the sculpting and installing of the deity. It seemed Lord Narasimhadev's appearance in ISKCON Mayapur would be a simple, straightforward affair. Radhapada Das promptly gave 1,30,000 rupees and it was accepted that the deity would be ready for installation in 3 months. I left for South India to get things organized. By Krishna's grace, I soon found a famous sthapati. A sthapati not only sculpts deities, but he is also an expert in temple architecture and engineering. The man was very obliging, until I mentioned to him that the deity we wanted to be carved was Ugra Narasimhadev. He emphatically refused to make such a deity. I approached many deity sculptors, but the answer was always the same. No. I had made a number of trips between Mayapur and South India. 6 months had passed, but Lord Narasimhadev had not yet manifested in his deity form. Radhapada Das was very anxious to see Lord Narasimhadev installed in Mayapur. He asked me to visit the original sthapati I had seen and once again plead our case. This time, the sculptor was a little more congenial and offered to read me a chapter from Shilpa Shastra. Shilpa Shastra is a Vedic scripture on sculpture and temple architecture that deals with different forms of deities. He read aloud some verses describing Lord Narasimhadev. A series of verses described his flame-like mane, his searching glance, and his knees bend with 1 foot forward, ready to jump from the pillar. When he read this, I was amazed. This was exactly what we wanted. I showed him the sketch I had done. He was impressed and offered to draw an outline based on the scriptural description, which we could use as a guide for sculpting the deity. He reminded me, though, that he would not carve the form himself. It took him a week to complete the sketch. It was very impressive. I returned to Mayapur and showed the sketch to the temple authorities. Everyone wanted the same Sthapati to carve the deity. Once again, I was sent back to South India to try to convince him. I went straight to the house of the Sthapati. I was feeling very anxious. What could I do but pray to the Lord Narsimhdev to be merciful and agree to manifest himself in our temple in Sri Mayapur Dham? I had hardly said two sentences when the man matter-of-factly said he would carve the deity. The story of how he came to the decision is very interesting. The Sthapati had approached his guru, the Shankaracharya of Kanchipuram, about our request. His guru's immediate reply was, "Don't do it." When he heard that it was Hare Krishna people from Navadeep, he became very concerned. They want Ugranarsimha? Are they even aware of the implications of sculpting and installing Ugranarsimha? Such deities were carved over 3,000 years ago by very elevated Sthapatis. There is a place on the way to Mysore where a very ferocious Ugranarsimha is installed. The demon Hiranyakashipu is torn open on his lap and his intestines are spilling out all over the altar. Once the standard of worship there was very high. There was an elephant procession and a festival every day. But gradually, the worship declined. Today, that place is like a ghost town. The whole village is deserted. No one lived there peacefully. Is that what they want for their project? The Sthapati replied, "They are very insistent. They are constantly coming to talk to me about the deity. Apparently, they have some problem with dacoits." Handling his guru a sketch of the deity, he said, "This is the deity they want." His guru took the sketch and looked at it knowingly. "Ah, this is Ugra category," he said. "But a deity in this particular mood is called Sthanu Narsimha. He doesn't exist on this planet. Even the demigods in the heavenly planets don't worship him in a form like this." "Yes, this deity belongs to Ugra category. Ugra means ferocious, very angry. There are 9 forms within this category. They are all very fierce. The one they want is Sthanu Narsimha, stepping out of the pillar. No, don't carve this deity. It will not be auspicious for you. I will talk with you about this later." A few nights later, the Sthapati had a dream. In the dream, his guru came to him and said, "For them you can carve Sthanu Narsimha." The next morning, he received a hand-delivered letter from Kanchipuram. The letter was from the Shankaracharya and gave some instructions regarding temple renovations. There was a footnote at the bottom. It read, "For ISKCON, you can carve Sthanu Narsimha." The Sthapati showed me the letter and said, "I have my guru's blessings. I will carve your deity." I was overwhelmed with joy. I gave him an advance payment and asked him how much time it would take to carve the deity. He said the deity would be ready for installation within 6 months. I then returned to Mayapur. After 4 peaceful months in the holy dham, I decided to go to South India and purchase the heavy brass paraphernalia required for Narsingh worship and then collect the deity. The trip was well organized and trouble-free until I visited Dastapati. I explained to him that all the paraphernalia required for the worship had been purchased and that I had come to collect the deity. He looked at me as though I had lost my senses and exclaimed, "What deity? I haven't even found a suitable stone." I couldn't believe my ears. "But you told me he would be ready in 6 months," I exclaimed. "I will keep my promise," he said. "6 months after I have found the stone, the deity would be ready for installation." His reply was emphatic. But I just couldn't understand or accept the delay. In frustration, I challenged him. "There's a big slabs of stone all over South India. What's the problem?" He looked at me the way a teacher would view a slow student and said very deliberately, "I am not making a grinding mortar. I am making a deity. The scriptures tell us that only a stone that has life can be used to make a Vishnu deity. When you hit 7 points of the stone slab and each makes the sound mentioned in the scriptures, then that stone may be suitable. But there is a second test to indicate whether the stone is a living stone. There is a bug that eats granite. If it eats from one side of the stone to the other and leaves a complete trail behind it, then the second test of living stone has been passed. That stone is a living stone. An expression can manifest from it. Only from such a stone can I carve your Narsimhdev. Such stone speaks poetry. All features of a deity sculpted from such a stone will be fully expressive and beautiful. Please be patient. I have been searching sincerely for your 6-foot slab." I was amazed and a little anxious. The devotees in Mayapur were expecting the arrival of the deity soon. How was I going to explain the living stone search to them? Maybe they would decide to make Narsimhdev from marble. I decided to try to lighten the subject by discussing the Prahlad Maharaj Murti with Dastapati. Please forgive me, but I forget to tell you, last time I came that we also want a Prahlad Murti. We want to worship Prahlad Narsimhdev. What do you think?" "I don't think that will be possible," Dastapati replied matter-of-factly. I looked at him incredulously, not sure what to say. He smiled and continued, "You want everything done exactly according to the scriptures? Your Narsimhdev will be 4 feet high. Comparatively speaking, that will make Prahlad Maharaj the size of an amoeba." "But we want Prahlad Maharaj 1 foot high," I interrupted. "Fine," Dastapati replied. "But that means your Narsimhdev will have to be about 120 feet high. We began to argue back and forth about Prahlad Maharaj's form. Finally, Dastapati sighed in resignation and agreed to make Prahlad Maharaj 1 foot tall. At least now, I had something positive to report when I returned to Mayapur. After 2 months, I returned to South India. There had been no developments. I shuttled back and forth from Mayapur to South India every 30 or 40 days. Finally, our stone was found. And the Sthapati became a transformed man. For over a week, he hardly spent any time at home. Hour after hour, day after day, he just sat staring at the slab. He had chalk in hand, but didn't draw anything. He refused to allow his laborers to do anything besides remove the excess stone to make the slab rectangular. The next time I visited him, he had made a sketch on the stone. That was all. I was worried. The Mayapur managers were becoming impatient. "Are you sure the deity will be finished in 6 months?" I asked in desperation. "Don't worry. The work will be done," he replied. I returned to Mayapur, only to be sent back to South India to check on some details of the deity. I found the Sthapati carving the form himself with intense care and dedication. At that stage, the stone had gone and the shape had come. The Sthapati had just started on his armlets. It took 2 weeks to carve them. All the features were so refined and delicate. I was impressed and very happy. It took the Sthapati a little over 12 months to finish the deity. When he completed the work, he didn't immediately inform me, but decided to visit some friends for a few days. It was the monsoon season. There were few visitors, and he felt it safe to lock up Lord Narasimhdev securely in his thatched shed. 2 days later, his neighbors ran to inform him that the thatched shed was on fire. There was heavy rain and everything was wet, but the coconut tree roof had caught fire. He ran to the scene to find Narasimhdev untouched, but the shed burned to ashes. Immediately, he phoned me, "Please come and take your deity. He's burning everything. He's made it clear. He wants to go now." Enthusiastically, I traveled to South India, hired a truck and half filled it with sand. I arrived at Sthapati's studio thinking this final stage would be relatively simple. I had foolishly forgotten that Lord Narasimhdev is a very heavy personality. He weighed 1 ton. After 2 or 3 hours, we managed to lift the deity safely from the shed onto the truck. To revel across the border safely, we also needed police permission, along with signed papers from the Central Sales Tax Department, the Archaeological Director, and the Art Emporium Directorate in Tamil Nadu. All the officers demanded to see the deity before signing the necessary papers. Once they took the darshan of Lord Narasimhdev, they all became very obliging and efficient. We had all the necessary papers in hand within 24 hours. A miracle, given the usual quagmire of bureaucracy found in government offices in India. The trip back to Mayapur was also amazingly trouble-free and peaceful. Our protector was certainly present with us. Usually, the Sthapati comes on the day of the installation ceremony, goes into the deity room, and carves the eyes of the deity. This is called Netra Nimilanam, that is, opening the eyes. It was an exceptional case that our Narasimhdev's Sthapati had already carved the eyes. He had not only carved the eyes, he had also done the Prana Pratishtha, that is, installing the life force, a little puja and an aarti. I am sure that is why all the papers were prepared so obligingly and transporting the Supreme Lord was so easy. He was already present. And who would dare to say no to Lord Narasimhdev? The installation of Lord Narasimhdev was very simple and lasted 3 days, from the 28th to the 30th of July 1986. I remember feeling apprehensive that perhaps the installation was so simple. The grave warnings of the Shankaracharya of Kanchipuram had deeply impressed me, but my mind was soon appeased by an awareness of loud dynamic kirtan, Sankirtan Yagya, the only true opulence of Kali Yuga, was dominating the scene. I felt enlivened and satisfied. Lord Narasimhdev, the protector of the Sankirtan mission, had finally decided to manifest at Sri Mayapur Chandrodaya Mandir. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.